This is an interview with the Kinsley Library. Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff are the interviewers. Today we are interviewing Keith King in his home, and it is March 30th, 2011. Get mixed up with my years in these interviews. Okay, Keith, can you tell us what your full name is?
I'm Keith King.
And where do you currently reside?
Right now I'm in Kinsley, Kansas.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in 1928, October the 12th. I was born on the King Homestead.
And this was near Centerview?
Yes. Centerview was 3/4 mile west and 1/2 mile south.
And what were the names of your parents?
My parents' names were Clarence George King and Ivy Bell King.
Okay, Bell was her middle name?
Yeah.
What was her maiden name?
Eggleston.
Eggleston, how would you spell that?
E-G-G-E-S-T-L-N.
Okay. And what were the names of your grandparents?
Dan King and Sarah King.
And her maiden name?
Abraham and
And Grandma.
Sarah.
What was his? But their last name was Eggleston, because you spelled that for us. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
I had one brother, Clarence.
Clarence?
Clarence Jr. King, and he died at Cheryl. I have one sister, was Pauline Fern King, and she is deceased. She's been dead 10 years.
Is she younger than you or older?
She's older, 5 years older.
Okay, so you grew up with you and your sister?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what brought the Kings originally to Edwards County?
Well, there was a family by the name of East that was out here, and that was my grandmother, King's side of the family. I guess they persuaded them to come out here because they came out here in 1878.
Where were they coming from?
Indiana.
Indiana?
Yeah, I think it was Muncie, Indiana. They got in here to Kinsley. The railroad likes about 4 miles getting in to Kinsley.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they got off there where the railroad ended?
Yeah.
And that was 1870?
1878.
Okay.
And they come out. The story goes my grandpa bought He bought a oxen and a wagon. That's what they came out to get out to the homestead is now. And
these other relatives had picked out the homestead or?
No, as far as I know, they just kind of told them about it, and they just kind of meandered around, and they picked it out. It was had people had moved there, but they left, and so they took up a homestead.
So there already was a house on it, and
no, there was no house. It was kind of a dig out mm-hmm. in the bank of the creek, and that's what they lived in until my grandpa moved part of it. It was kind of a lean-to dig out, and they moved part of it down in the quarter mile east, and that's where the homestead is.
Okay, I think Marcel looked up this name a while.
Okay, is it Charles and Sarah East? Jane, Jane East.
That's who he's talking about now, but what was the eagle?
Eagle.
That was the one he was looking for either.
Abraham.
So what the East, how were they related to? You got a picture of them there in the book.
I guess they messed
up. Grandma King's sister.
Grandma King's sister.
Yeah.
Okay. So they moved this lean-to up, and then that's where he built the original house.
When they built the house, they just built around it. Built a two-story house, and then on later years, they added a wing on the south side of it.
Were you told any stories about these early years of homesteading?
Uncle Warren King, that's my dad's brother, he taught school around here, and then he went to Oklahoma. When they had him and his brother, Charlie, when they had the Oklahoma Strip run, they went down there and Uncle Warren stayed, but my Uncle Charlie came back. And Uncle Warren, and he taught school down there, but things didn't work out, so he came back, moved into Centerview. And that time, that was about the time when the railroad came through, so they made him come back here and run a grocery store a while, and then he ran a lumber yard there in Centerview, and then he ran the Gano grain elevator until he gave that up.
Was that here in Kinsley?
No, was in Centerview.
That was in Centerview, okay.
My grandma, I think he went. He worked on the, my grandpa came and worked on the railroad. The rest of the time they stayed there.
So he went out and worked on the railroad for some money, but the family stayed on the homestead, establishing the homestead.
And Uncle Warren came back. He worked this kind of around the store, and just didn't do too good at that time. And the time I was old enough to know the lumber yard had closed. There were two elevators in Centerville, and like I said, he managed to gain an elevator.
What was the other elevator?
That was a Centerview Co-op. I have a certificate at my Grumble King Bond Sheriff's Stock, and also the Centerview Bank. And they also got us into the railroad when that went.
So when you were growing up in Centerview, there were the two elevators and a bank.
Yeah.
And what else?
There was, like you said, the lumber yard. And there was a big building. It was going to be a hardware store. It was a two-story, but it never did materialize too much, but they had a woodsman's lodge show up above, and I just can barely remember it when I was little. And they had the grocery store and the garage, and the school came in. I remember that. Was it 1992?
You'd be pretty young.
Well, I would. No, the school was there before that. That's all I can kind of remember.
Was there a restaurant?
No.
Gas station?
Yeah, it was connected to the garage.
So you grew up on a farm?
Yes.
And what was life like on the farm? And this was during the 30s?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can remember the 30s pretty much. But my mother had cataracts on her eye, and they got ulcerated, and she went completely blind when I was probably about 3 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And my dad wound up around her, taking her down to Wichita to an eye doctor called Dr. Weaver. and my mom and I and Bonita Kennedy Newsom stayed down there. Dad and sister came back and she went to school and he took care of the household duties and the farm. But I can remember when we come home the death storm days. But we messed out on a lot of them being down there. We stayed down there off and on for probably a good 2.5 years. But then...
This is in Wichita.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And your mother was getting treatments? Or?
Yeah. She had to go... We stayed in an apartment house on River Street. And we had to go to the doctor twice a day, she did. They put eye drops in and to get her eyes before they could operate. And it took about that, like I said, about 2.5 years off and on. And I can't visualize now driving down there in an old Ford car, four-door Ford car, to Wichita and back. But we made the trip, but I didn't remember all it is. My mother wouldn't let me have an apartment house because we lived on the river, right along the river. So I was pretty well tied up. I got some sacred sand in that apartment. But people that had the apartment, we see upstairs, and their name is Hines, and they had a boy, he was in high school, and I don't know why, but he took a liking to me. So I got to go out and run around with him a little bit. When we came back, when my mother had her operation, she got to where she could see, only he had to wear big old heavy glasses. She didn't have no vision on the outside, but she could see. And that time we got that all done, I was ready to start school. And
so what was school like in Centerview?
Well, I guess it was about as good as any of them around. Because it was schools and Fellsburg, and I know what trees there.
This was a big, not brick, was it? Or was it brick school?
Yeah, big school.
How many kids were in your class?
When I started to school, there was three. And as the years went along, the schools increased, and then they combined the Bethel community and the Charlotte school. And they came in the Centerview when I started the what they called junior high. And that would have been when I was in the seventh grade. And they kind of shifted the kids from Centerview to Fellsburg and Fellsburg to Tuesday, and then back to Fellsburg. And I'm our graduated 7-0. Senior class.
And still Centerview you graduated from?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, Marcel found the name.
No, I didn't.
You didn't find the name. Okay.
Go to the tombstone and find it. I can't think of it.
Did you play sports in high school?
Yes, more interested in sports and studying.
And what were the sports that you played?
Oh, basketball and baseball and softball and some tennis. I just kind of like the seasons come along.
And who were your competitors? Who did you play against, Tom?
Well, in grade school, I played baseball against Fellsburg. And then when I got up into junior high, they kind of had I think they called it a 56 league down there. Centerview, by that time Fellsburg had dropped out. At Centerview and Tuesday, he played Lewis and Maxville. buyers, a little town called Antrim, and then we played at Wilmore. And then we played, got Garfield in the string, and that consisted of our sports. But then at the time, that was when the war had and had all the racing and things. And we had one bus that they could take us to the sporting events, but about half the time it broke down, so we got to Jeff Parents ticked again.
Do you remember Pearl Harbor?
Yes, we was down to my Aunt Rosa Brown. They lived 4 miles south. I was Dad's sister. We had had family dinner about 2 o'clock. But she always had to go to church on Sunday, and that was, at that time they had a little church and a school called Red Mill, and that was a mile east of where she lived. It was a Quaker church, so we didn't get home too early.
Long services.
Yeah. But anyway, after lunch, my cousin Vernon Brown said we'd go out and look, see what they were doing. They were putting one of the gas lines through the country back there then.
On the gas pipeline?
Yeah.
Oh, that
early. Yeah, there was a... in fact, there were 3 at one time. One of 24, 2 24s and 1 48 gas line. Most of them wound up at Mount Bushing for the substation. But we went out there and they wasn't doing anything. My dad inquired out if they would broke down or something. Foreman said no. We just got word to set everything down that Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. So they said, we don't know what we were to do, you know, until we got word. So that's the first we knew about it.
So they shut down the work for the day from the pipeline? Or did was that the end of the pipeline after the war?
They shut down for about a week. And I guess the government went ahead and let them complete that. But, 2 weeks, Sam had closed all the wire and anything at steel. And they had just started getting ready to start the REA so we could have electricity. Because all we had was glass gas lights. One night, we got them later. My dad finally put in a power plant. That was all he had was trouble. So we went back to gas lights again, and the Colorado lamp. Him and a guy by the name of Charlie Darby went around and got most people to sign up so that I have electricity. Mm-hmm. That's when the RACA come in. I think it cost $5 to sign in. Well, he was just getting ready to start putting in the electricity and all that stuff just got through. And so everybody said, well, the kids are $5. Goodbye.
So that didn't get completed until after the war,
right? No. But right after the war was over, they come right back into having electricity. And we didn't have electricity until it was about 1946 when we finally, the year I graduated, down through the company, the country. But then, well, the houses had to be wired, you know, for the electricity. So it was, I think, about the fall of 1946, they turned on the light.
Well, honey, they didn't have electricity when we were married.
Oh, that's right. That was 49.
49, they got the electricity?
Yeah.
About 3 years after the war. So what were your chores as a young lad there growing up?
Well...
You had a farm, run a farm, right?
Yeah.
And was it both... did you raise crops and have animals? Or?
Well, mostly wheat and barley. We milked cows. My dad served a herd of what they call red pole livestock cows. We milked about 13 or 15 in the wintertime up in the summertime, and then you'd have them to dry out and start in on the field work and getting ready for harvest. Then the 30s there, from about 38 to about 41, I can remember harvesting. My dad told me back in about 34 and 33, they never pulled the combine out of the shed because it had been
raining there. Yeah.
And then the next year following, it got a little rain, got the combine out and cut around the creek. We had a little wild horse creek runs through the farm. And the wild horses got putting enough moisture around it. Wheat sprouted and grew up around the bank. It got enough wheat that year to proceed. And then in 38 and 39, it got a little better. It got over the gas storm days. Of course, they had come out with different ways of farming and kind of shut the desk off.
What was farming like, there in the 40s? What's your tractor like? And
when I first tractor I ever run was my dad had bought a new 19. Anyway, it was a 22-36 International on steel. And they got it from Schaefer's here in Kempfer. That's the first tractor I really was around.
Now, somebody else said, did they deliver them in Kinsley and then you had to get them to the farm? Do you remember that?
No,
They brought them out to the farm.
They had a big old white flatbed truck and they run them off on the dock. Back then, the ditch out of them and running out.
And how old were you when you started working with the tractor, driving the tractor?
My first time I went with my dad, it would have been probably about 38 or 9.
So 10, 11 years old.
Because I always wanted to go to the field all the time, and my dad would take me, and then I'd go to sleep, and so he'd put me in the cab of the truck and let me sleep till I woke up. Then we'd go again.
Now, there wasn't any irrigation where you were living, was there?
Not anything in that manner.
Did you use any fertilizer or
no.
pesticides or anything like that?
No. There wasn't anything like that when I grew up. I can remember planting wheat and third row corn. My dad had bought three of them old one horse drills. I got one out here, the boy does now. That was Lawrence Butler restored and Marcel bought it. My dad planted third row corn. That was the first time I really worked ever all day drilling wheat, and he'd have to stop and fill up.
Got a note here. What about the chickens?
Okay, well, that was on my mind. We raised cow, like I said, we had the dairy cows. When we had the true head of hogs, but my dad started raising chickens. What he done was, early in the spring, when they first started hatching chickens at the hatchery, he picked up, built a new chicken house. Had three rooms in it. Two rooms was for the chickens, and the other one was the room for feed. And they put in what they call kerosene stoves. It was a round like stove. He put in some tanks off of some old tractors and run a pipe out of the feed room into the brooder cell and put a little fence around it so the chickens can get up to. And they had in two rooms and he raised about 500 chickens.
Oh, that's a lot of chickens.
Yeah.
And this was for eggs or?
Yeah, because he made a deal with Ed Fletcher up at first. He had the hatchery.
It was Ed Fletcher, you said, had a hatchery, and was that at Lewis? Okay.
And so he did whatever the lake in the spring. He had started delivering eggs up to the hatchery, and it was quite a much process. But he had to have what they called kennel the eggs, and he had the little scales and all that stuff, and they had to be weighed and put up to the light so he seen any blood spots in it.
And then did they ship out on the train, or?
No, he just delivered them.
Oh, just delivered them.
To the hatchery, and he hatched the eggs out.
He hatched them, okay.
And bring the chickens back out when they were little. So we had chickens around the farm all the time.
Did you learn how to butcher chickens?
talking about chickens. What's up until you about dressing chicken? But and then when I was growing up too, also we always had some hogs around. And the winter time, my neighbors would all get together and butchers together. My dad had a what they call an old scullin' vat and a sled, and they pull it around to whoever wanted the butcher, and they'll pour in it. After they shot the hogs, they dip them in this hot water, and then change where they roll them over one side and then roll them back. And they would then roll them out on this sled, and that's where they'd scrape the hair off the hog. And by the times that I'd come home from school, it'd be about half a dozen hog carcasses hanging up in my granary.
Did your mother render the fat for soap and things like that?
Oh yeah, that's all I can think about is when the butchering time come on, it was rendering lard and making soap, wrapping the hams and the bacon, and I peeled a little place in the side of the garage that they called the meat house. And he'd carried his own meat and we'd wrap them in paper, newspaper, and then wrap them in gunny sacks, and then they'd hang them up around in that meat house.
And this was in the fall, so it was cold enough that they would stay, but you had to eat it by spring, was that the deal?
Well, most of my, it was most of any about in springtime, it would be. Some of that I give it to my aunts and uncles. Whenever we had a big family dinner, or get together, and no sooner give somebody a ham or slab of bacon. I always dozens to eggs.
Now we had some people tell us too about rabbit drives. Do you remember those?
Yeah, in fact, I was went on two of them, but I turned my stomach on that part. I didn't mind driving, but when they got them in them pens and started kind of clubbing them, and it was too much for me. But they had to hit them. They started down to parallel and ended up to my Uncle Warren Nugger's pasture there, and about 4 miles long.
And they were just eating the crops and everything, or?
They were just. When I remember, they got bad enough that they were, you know, what little or less green they made.
And there just got to be too many of them? Or?
I guess the government thought that.
And what'd they do with the rabbits after they killed them?
Shipped them all back to around New York and Boston and back in there. And then, of course, a lot of them were skinned for the fur, mostly. Mm-hmm. And I only lasted about 2 years, I think.
Now, did you hunt as a boy other than that? Was there, now, there weren't deer at this time, were there?
Well, no, lots of cows. Of course, you see all that back there. But for the animals, that was about all there was the rabbits.
Partridge, or?
Oh, yeah, it was. My dad had a bunch of horses. And it was his dad. They farmed for horses until 1928. My dad bought an international combine, and they pulled a combine with horses. And in about 1932, Dad often got a what they called a Nicholson Shepherd combine, and pulled a combine with the horses one year, and then he bought his first tractor, and that was a Case tractor that the motor set crossroads in it. Got a little replica around there, so that, and used that. He bought an Ellis Timbers about 2 years after that. And now all it would do was break down. So that's when he traded him and got this international tractor. I think it's been in the tractor for quite a few years.
Okay, and you graduated from Centerview, and then did you just start farming with your dad?
No, when I graduated, played a little Van Johnson baseball in the summer. But
no, what's
I
that? Got, Van Johnson baseball.
Oh, it's, I used to be all over the country. There were kids out of certain ages, and you could sign out and play.
Sort of like Little League or
anything. Yeah, it's about like that. But I got to going to this gal, and they didn't like her going along. I think I'm going to be played ball, so I quit. I played a lot of ground team baseball and basketball over the years, but I went to Hutch-Stucco.
Oh.
I signed up for a year ago.
And what were you playing for them?
I was going to just go to school.
Oh.
and I took courses in
bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Okay.
And took a class in.
And did you live at Hutch then?
Yeah.
In an apartment or something?
Apartment. 204 East A.
So you're on a business course of some sort?
Yeah. I committed the first section. I got out of school. And then Marcel came down there.
Now, when did you meet Marcel?
Oh, I met her. My senior year at a basketball tournament over at Maxwell. I finally got her to go out with me. My mistake.
And you better be careful, she's standing behind you.
No, that's probably one of the best thing I ever done.
And so so you knew her, but you went away to school, but then she came to Hutch?
Yeah. She followed me.
And you got married there pretty soon, didn't you? Let me see.
Yeah, 49.
47.
Yeah, 47.
And you graduated in probably in 46?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. But I come back to the farm then. And that's when the RA was around in the country. So we had a contractor that stayed with my mom. Dad and mom. So I went with them. I got a kind of a job, I guess you'd say, with them, helping them string the wires for the houses and cut them, plug in the hole.
And this was in the center view and area? Or?
Anywhere they could get a job.
Oh, okay.
I done that for a while and then I go to school.
And you were married at this time?
Living.
Where were you living?
My dad had bought a house in Centerview right there at Schoolhouse Drive. That was where the superintendent of the schools lived. And they started to build on family, but Wayne Metling.
Metling?
Yeah. And they started to build on it. But he got called into service, so they sold it, and my dad bought the house for Marcel. So I just worked for him whenever he needed me.
You said you drove school bus.
Yeah. And then my sister, I bought a farm down in the Bethel community, just a quarter mile there from the Caldwell Edwards County line. It was called the Ralph Scott place.
Ralph Scott?
I think it was. Oh, yeah. My sister and Vernon moved down there. We run a bunch of cattle back over in the sandy. Man, and there was a half section of farm. My job us was go over, and it was Ed Miller, who lived down west of my sister's place, and ride the pastures.
So you were a cowboy.
Yeah, and if hadn't been for Ed knowing his way around, I'd still be wandering down the hill.
It'd still be lost, huh?
How to get out of it. And me that my sister, of course, was married and to Vernon Hagwood. He went to town. Pays taxes, and there was a guy by the name of Ken Lambert that learned to fly.
Oh, say that name again.
Kenneth Lambert.
Lambert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So he was up here at his plane out here at the airport there, and he was hunting coyotes, and he was a spotter, and so Vernon went with him. He never made it back, but Christ down there on the hill, and he was killed. Us, and we had about 300 head of cattle down there. So we hauled in streets from my place down there, and this is in my senior year at school, so I messed a lot of school in my senior year.
Taking care of the cattle? Or?
Yeah.
And you kept them over the winter, that big of a herd?
No, we took them in the fall, run them through the winter, and they had the grassland open, and I'd take them to the grass. And that's when I said, I was one bad time and ride the pasture, and then sell them in the fall. But anyway, we had that farm to take care of too, so it was not a good time for all of us.
You're working pretty hard.
Yeah, but we had two good neighbors. There was a guy by the name of Ben Titus. He lived on the woods. Jerry G. lived in there, my sister. And had but one for them who would have been in deep trouble. But they kept the fences up, but we was in the process of putting new fences up, and I don't know how many days we worked down there digging the hole. Posted all them guys, but boy, they was a life. Anyway, she finally married a second cousin of mine. They farmed for, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years. So he decided to give up the farm. So they sold the farm and moved in there. Here in Kinsley, we were in the VFW for I don't know how many years. But anyway, we got rid of the farm, and Marcel can tell you more about what she done.
Yeah, she already's done that because we interviewed her earlier. Okay, so you're a young married couple there, and you're starting to have children in 52. Boyd and 55 Jolynn and 60
yeah.
William Keith.
Yeah.
And how was Centerview changing at this time?
Well, by that time when I graduated, all there was the garage, the store, and the post office was in the store, church, and the school.
So it really, from the time you were a little tot to then, had pretty much gone away.
And I had taken up the railroad. It would, went bankrupt.
Now that railroad we sort of refer to as the Aunt Nancy?
Yeah.
That's the railroad?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about that when it was running?
Yeah, I can remember part of it back when it was enacted. But by the time I knew about one elevator, co-op elevator at the Gaino Street open, but they quit handling very much grain. The Gaino elevator would stay open until it got full. But when they took up the track, everything deteriorated then, because that was a main opportunity.
And
when they put the railroad in.
When did the school close then?
I had high school one more year after I graduated, and there was just two in the senior class. And they had the kids come up in to Lewis, and they had grade school there, well, maybe 3 years or four after. And then they closed it then. And by that time, that's all. When the school went in, it, you might say it was nothing there.
Mm-hmm. You remember, you know, how that felt, or the consolidation process, anything about that, or?
All I know, or too much about it, was kind of seemed like the county commissioners kind of decided, and the superintendent, state of Kansas, to combine the little schools.
Mm-hmm.
And
it had gotten so small, you really didn't have a choice, did you?
No. There wasn't anything coming up to speculate on, really.
So your children went into Lewis?
Yes, all three of them graduated from Lewis.
Now, in the 50s, where did you do your doctoring and dentists and that sort of thing?
Well, most of them at Lewis, they had a doctor. McFessel was been there for years. He was in Morehouse School. He was a medical doctor. And there was Dr. Crawford. He was a dentist. And then there was another doctor by the name of Dr. Lewis, and he was an osteopath. Doctor.
And he was in Lewis too?
Mm-hmm. His name is Lewis, L-O-O-S-E. And of course he didn't get along too well with the other two doctors. But anyway,
that's
where we went for doctors.
And to trade for your groceries and that sort of thing was Lewis?
Yeah. Lewis. And then we got to coming over to Kendrick because when the railroad went out, we had no place else to ship cream out. And eggs and cream both. The line run from Kensington to Korea, and they had a...
So you would take the eggs and cream into Kinsley to put it on the train?
Yeah. No, take it over to Melbourne Center, and then when the train went out, then we started bringing it to Kinsley.
And that was in what year? Are we talking when the train went out? About?
It must have been about 40. Around 40 or 41.
Okay.
Because I remember when I was in the sixth grade, standing up, sharpening my pencil and looking out the window when they were taking off the track. A lot of pencils were sharpened right back at that time. and then
you used the for your farm for the grain. You said the center view one was small. Did that? Then did you bring it into Lewis or?
Yeah,
into Lewis.
Like I said, that gain, elevator stayed open for probably 6 or 7 years, and they took the grain out to Belfort. They had a grain on. Belfry and my Uncle Warren King ran it, and then my cousin Ramona Kennedy ran it. That's the last one that ran it, and then they moved her to Belfry to take over there, and then that's Gino sold up to, I think, Lyman's, because I know she went, got her job as being farm bureau, it's in Kinsley.
So how does farming change over the 50s and the 60s? What changes came about?
Pretty fast. all different types of farming equipment, chains. It seemed like every year or two, something new come out and take the place of something they had. Of course, combines and what made an awful change when they came out with it. Self-propelled combine. We had the chase tractors and trucks, all that good stuff, you know. But Marcel and I lived in that house at Centerville, and we had 1952, we rented the wood spot 4 miles west from Laura Woods. She lived here in Kinsley. And we moved over there. There was nothing there but the house and the barn, and then we had a bad windstorm and the barns were down. All I can remember is when we moved over there, I had a pump for oil water.
A hand pump? And what year is this about when you're living there?
Well, that was 52, 54. So
was there electricity?
Yeah, there was electricity there. So I moved my electric pump to the center of it, dug out in the house, and so we'd have water. And then, of course, there wasn't no bathroom. In fact, if I remember Marcel, Sam, we never had a bathroom from the time they was married until we moved over to the farm homestead.
And what year was that about?
We moved over there and must have been 58, if I remember right. I know we had a real bad snowstorm.
Okay, Bill was 1960.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, 57 or 58. So you didn't have an indoor plumbing until 57 or
58? Yeah. We had that bad snowstorm, and it was, as soon as we could get out, my folks had just bought my sister's house in Kenmore, because they was going to move to Spokane, Washington, for Don's dad. So we all moved up here. I don't know, we stayed up there a lot of ways or so. We ended up out to the wet spots. Paul the pastor had fell on one or two rails. And that was just a mess. Well, my folks decided that I'd just get down and move to Kinsley.
So your folks retired?
Yeah.
And that was that the 57, 58 in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we moved over to the farm.
To the farm.
Yeah. And they moved in the county. And they've been on the farm ever since until we retired.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking back when I was a kid.
Okay.
I can remember my toys that I got was all made up out of junk pile. They had sprockets and had what I call lugs on them, you know,
mm-hmm.
Devil's head. That was my traps. And I made my own implement, but with lath and nails. I'd have had a few toys. But that was my farming equipment.
You just had to improvise out of the scrap.
Yeah. I finally got a bicycle about 10 years old.
Did you run a bicycle on the farm?
Yeah.
Wasn't too sandy?
Well, at that time we had rural roads.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I never did ride at the school. Always, if I had done anything. Off to school, I try to beat the bus home, across the field. But that was extremely hard.
Did you ever start in the 50s or 60s or start irrigating?
No.
Has it always been dry land?
Yeah, and 64. I put in air conditioning well. Rented a recorder from Ralph Baird, and he put in a well for me there at about the same time. And then I done a little irrigating it over on the roof of Woods Place. They had an old well, and we hooked it up and got a tow line, or I guess you call it hand line. You ignore the bird because we moved up for a section. We swing it out for, this is what, about a quarter mile pipe. And we put that together and belted that well up to the tractor and had a belt pulley on it. Which I got very good with that thing, but it wasn't very good. So the well wasn't all that good. In fact, I think it collapsed a few years after that. And,
did you have to start using fertilizer?
Yeah, but that time we do use a lot of dry fertilizer. The first come out was in 50-pound bags of dry fertilizer. We did that for put our fertilizer hoppers on the marine deal.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got a planter that she could run with cans on the back, and then had two and fertilizer down right behind before you planted it. That was dry. And then so I used much liquid fertilizer until, well, I didn't, until Kenny King went in with Hank Owens and started the fertilizer business over the field. And that was probably back. It was on the 60s.
Did you have to use insecticides?
Well, we didn't use too much, yeah, for up until we started planting corn.
When did you start planting corn?
Well, my first corn crop was down on Mayor's Circle, 1978.
So then you had Mexican
soda
beans.
Yeah, well, we had soybeans there.
Oh, well, that's interesting. So would this be in the 60s or 70s or what?
It had been in the 70s.
And you had, were growing soybeans?
Yeah, we started.
And had migrant workers hoeing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that the first use of micro workers that you'd used? Or?
Yeah. A bunch of them come out one week. He lasted, he must have been about 3 or 4 years that had come out of the summer.
Where'd they stay when they came?
Well, there was an old vacant farmhouse 3 miles south, belonged to Donovan, Lester Gurley, farms and ground. And they stayed in that farmhouse. There was about at least 40 of them.
40, that's a big crew.
Yeah.
Do you know how much they were paid?
Not enough.
Well, I know that, but I'm just curious.
But it cost me about $10 to $12 an acre.
$10 or $12 an acre to have a hoe. And how long would it take for a 40 man crew to hoe an acre?
It'd be a day.
A day.
On a circle.
And then, now, did you feed them also?
No.
No, that was, they had to feed themselves.
Yeah, they, in fact, the guy that was foreman of the coup, he was a professor of agriculture in the town of Santa Bernardino College out in California.
Yeah.
He came out of his summer.
And worked as a migrant worker, but he was a professor in the school year?
Yeah.
Wow.
He wasn't a migrant.
Oh, no. He was a foreman.
Yeah. He just enjoyed to come out and do that. Because he was, the guy that had the crew was his brother.
Uh-huh. So he helped that up.
Yeah.
Now, did most of them speak both English and Spanish or just Spanish?
No, just all Spanish.
All Spanish.
Now, the
And
that them two guys spoke their language. Yeah. Really, the professor was, he was, well, that is educated man, I would say. Mm-hmm. And always talks good English.
You know. So they'd be with you a week or two or something, and then they'd go to another farm, or what?
Oh, they'd be there. Maybe, depends on how much you had, but they'd be there. I mean, a day or two, and then he just, that one guy just went over the country lining up jobs. And they worked 7 days a week.
And, now, you remember the names of the foremen, or?
No, I shouldn't.
Now, that's interesting. Now, that's the first mention we've had. That's really an interesting story. Did you have any other hired men or anything, or were you pretty much your...
Oh, I had some kids, of course, I had my own crew then until the boys left.
Yeah, you're raising your crew, huh?
But then I had some kids that worked for me during the summer.
During harvest and things.
We put in some more irrigation system. We had six between us and my cousin. I got rid of my combine I had and just harvest. Custom cut them for years. Up until Boyd got the bug and he's got. But we have corn. I didn't get the corn bug too bad.
You need irrigation for corn out there, because that takes a lot more water.
I stuck the nylon on corn or
wheat.
Soybeans. And then we had alfalfa.
Alfalfa. Yeah. And alfalfa needs water too, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they can tell me that alfalfa takes a lot of water, but they don't take as much as corn does by a third. Mm-hmm. Because I got to picking up one time and you cut the hay about every 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. Oh, you see, I'm at least a week or 10 days. That you don't want water, and if it's rain, you could be down 2 weeks and not have the water. So I come to the conclusion that they didn't have as much water as people thought. That was just my theory.
Is there anything else about the farming? And boy, we came up with that really good story. Any other thing that we haven't thought to ask people? What other changes did you see, you know, as you progressed through the 50s and the 60s, and your son started helping with them? I mean, actually, they were grown, let me see, in the late 70s, well, one suit or that, 70 and late 70s. Did Boyd help with the, is he still farming, or?
No.
No.
Boyd, I went to, after he got married in high school, he went to college for his state. He came back to the farm and helped in the summertime for 2 summers. Then he got his job in the register's office working through the summer. And then him and Tony got married. So eliminated that for a while.
So what does he do now?
He's a bank consultant.
So he did not go into farming?
No.
And Bill?
And Jill Lynn, she went to college, mm-hmm. but she decided she wanted to go out on her own. She went to Hayes also and got a job on Fort Howe. Then she moved to Salina, works for Highway Patrol for
And Bill became a teacher.
Dylan wound up whatever. Anyway, she traveled.
District sales representative.
Yeah. For cows, so.
But Boyd owned combine. And
yeah, I was going to get to that.
Well, what's this?
come back. He was after he got a job out at Oak Creek. After he graduated, he got the bag and wanted to get a combine and come back and cut my crop.
Just yours or other people too? Was he customing a little?
No, that's him. When he done that, we cut our own. And I furnished the trucks and everything to come out. We done that till last year.
Same combine all that time?
Oh, no. He's had three.
Three, okay.
Yeah.
So he keeps his hand in farming by just coming back and combining each time.
Yeah, and he come back different times than us.
And he does custom work.
And he does custom work now, okay.
He come back sometimes when I'd get behind. I'd get the ground ready during the week, and then he'd come back and I'd plant it all the week. And if we didn't get it done, I'd finish it up. We kind of had a system there.
And then Bill stayed here because he was teaching and he's now principal, but did he do part-time farming to help you too?
No, yeah, we come back for harvest, two summers, He always worked at Salinas, got done. He worked they run a gas station. They painted, him and somebody else. They painted the back of the buildings there on one of the schools. He just, and he worked for a farmer. He got a job working for a farmer there outside of Linus. So that's where he worked in the summertime. So and that was when I was getting a lot of my crops cut. Custom with him. It all worked out pretty good.
Did you tell him you drove the school bus when you didn't
like it? No, one thing I did, and why they ever let me let us, I don't know.
You're not the only one we've heard this story from. Not you. Somebody else drove a school bus too when he was a junior.
Jeff, anybody that's in a junior or senior can grab a school bus.
You just had to have your license and get the commercial license or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you worked at the state.
Yeah, I've done that.
When did you work at the state hospital?
Must have been about
59 or 16. Yeah, was that to supplement the farm income?
Yeah. I was making it was around 38 and 59.
How long did you work there?
I worked there 6 months. Mm-hmm. Either one.
But you did different years, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did it more than 1 year through the winter, just.
And then when they moved to the woods place, my brother-in-law, Colas Gossett, he ran the propane department at the Kinsley Co-op. And the wintertime, I'd always get an extra feeling. So Lindsay was my brother-in-law, he got me the job at Grandma Fairland.
So quite often you were working in the wintertime to supplement what you were making on the farm the rest of the year.
And then I'd help my dad off and on. But I've done that for, 3-4 years before I really went to, you might say really farming. When I really went to farming, that's when my dad lived. I took over the farm.
Yeah, and then you didn't have time to do the extra?
Yeah. I done jobs in the.
He still did.
Winter time, I got there. After we had a bad ice storm, the year I worked up at Warren. That spring we had an awful bad ice storm. We took down a lot of poles and lines, and I got a bunch of farmers together, and they went through to help get the telephone system. I can order the Lewis telephone company. And my dad was on the telephone line at that time. And that pack was broken. But they got it fixed back up, and so I went to work for the manager off and on at the telephone company, but the guy was named Art Lee.
Art Lee?
Yeah. And he kind of took me under my wing, and then he needed some extra help as I was a bellboy, go up and help him. And then they had another bad storm about the time they got that nowhere. And that's when the Lewis telephone changed.
The Golden Bell?
It went to Golden Bell.
About what year was that?
That must have been, well, it had been about 49 or 59.
59?
Yeah.
Now why did it change?
They was microphones, they broke.
Okay.
Because they didn't have that much to fix it up.
The other company was, the first company was?
Lewis Telephone.
And so it was more just a little local?
Yeah, local.
Thing, and then Golden Belt was bigger?
Yeah. See, they started it up in, around Race Center. And that all in little town, that whole area had about the same problems. And they was able to get this government grant for the REA and start rebuilding all the systems.
Well, that's interesting because that's the first time we've heard that story too, of the changing of the phone.
Yeah. I went to work for the construction company, Dupski.
Dupski?
Yeah. U-U-P-S, I think it was.
May just be S-K-Y.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, they had to, of course, it started from scratch. They was about 4 or 5 miles south of the one I worked for.
And this was a construction company?
Mm-hmm.
Building houses or barns?
No, it was a regular, just line construction.
Oh, line construction.
And he done power and phone bill. And I started driving an old 4x4 Dodge Armor truck. Had a car top on it. Mm-hmm. Pulling the water trailer. I started there. And we went down with the eight wire, then come back to Lewis, down to the parallel. When we come back to Lewis and run eight more, then we come back to Lewis and run two. Because we had just 4 tramps on the trailer. So we take 6 wires up at a time, or they did. And then it split off, you know, the area. And we never could keep it full cool and the steam cool. And like I said, I worked off and on for Art Lee. We got a kid that come in. He was one of these guys that didn't ever find. And he didn't last the first pull. In fact, we had to go up and lay in the foreman to get him off the dang pole.
Did he freeze up there or something? Or did he freeze and get scared?
Got up there. He couldn't turn right. He just froze up there. Of course, it was a 40-foot pole.
Well, I'm most impressed.
Most of them are just 30.
You've been a cowboy, you've been a lineman.
Yeah, and we stayed out in Mineola for 2 years.
Mineola?
Mm-hmm. Marcel went out first to help Lorne and Lily Santa. They'd have had a new baby, man. It was,
so now we're up in the 7.
Oh, is it right after we was married?
Oh,
right?
That's before boy.
Oh, this is real. This is real early. Okay.
And we're jumping back and forth.
All right. So we you went out first to Mineola, and then you joined her there?
Yeah.
And that was...
We got homesick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went out and helped Lauren and build a lean-to on the couch. Yeah. Then we come back home that year, and then we went back out the next year and stayed with Lawrence Young's. Well, they went to... Was it Fourth Supply?
No.
No, nobody. Anyway, down in Texas, spam, all of them. So we went out and stayed for Lawrence Young and I hauled water for every day for a bunch of cows. It was bought up from ice and put out on ice.
Well, let me go back a little bit, because you mentioned when you were a boy, and I don't remember when the Pearl Harbor, that you were involved with the Quaker Church. Now, was that just your aunt, or was that you, your family, were they Quakers?
No.
No.
My aunt.
Just
aunt
your aunt
Rosie
one.
Was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what church, did you go to church when you were?
Yeah, we went to the Methodist Church.
In Center View?
Yeah.
Okay, and... when did that church close down?
Been in the 60s.
And then what did you do for church?
We started going into Lewis.
Into Lewis, to the Methodist church.
Yeah, I was still having church.
So when you were first married, and how big was the congregation in Centerview?
Probably 35.
35, and then it just dwindled and dwindled?
They
were Supply type Quaker ministers.
Oh, it was a Methodist church with Quaker ministers, okay.
The first two
did they have a Quaker service or a Methodist service?
Oh, it had a little bit of everything. The first minister they had a Reverend Ramsdale.
Ramsdale?
He was a Methodist minister.
Do you remember a Reverend Durham?
Yeah.
We have a book that he wrote. We have books that
he was Quaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there was, wasn't Thomas? It was superintendent of school and principal.
And that was the only church at that time in the community, was the Methodist Church, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was another way that the community changed.
Kirker's church down at Redmond was still going on. Up in the 60s, because they had a minister.
What church is this?
The Quaker Church.
The Quaker Church was still there.
They had a minister.
Did they just meet in homes, or did they have a building? Or?
It was a building. There was a church and a school. They had a school in there. They moved the school building up to Centerview and made the cookhouse out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it came from.
I was going to ask you this earlier, we're going back to, but when you said you were at your aunt's, who was a Quaker, and they were going to church when the Pearl Harbor happened, the Quakers, of course, are very peaceful people. Do you remember any talk or anything with the adults at that time of going to war?
No, they didn't say anything.
Okay, that crossed my mind.
Of course, about that time, it was about to. I think Barrett Williams was the last minister they had. And that was when I was in the 6th grade, because they had 3 children, and he drove the school bus, and his wife was one of the cooks. And he kind of helped the janitor during the day. And then they'd go back, take the bus home. Yeah, I was right about when I was in the 6th grade.
Okay, and there's one other thing that we didn't mention, and I don't know if you want to talk about it. You did not serve in the military?
No.
And this would have been Korean War time. Do you want to say why? Or?
Yeah, I got turned down.
You tried to enlist or
no,
were drafted?
No, I was going to get drafted.
Okay.
I Bud's Alley store, and the first time we went down, I guess we left Alley Green, but went to Kansas City.
Did you go on the train?
No.
Bus. Buses.
Okay. Gerald Olson was went down Monday. We both got turned down. But I said I had a heart murmur.
A heart murmur.
But I come back and nobody can find it.
Well, and you're still here today.
Well, you got a lot of heart trouble,
though. Yeah, but at an old age.
That old armor doctor was trying to tell me something I couldn't hear. Anyway. No, I was really surprised.
Came back and farmed and did. I had a physical life.
Yeah, I come back and done odd jobs, I guess, and farmed with my dad.
Okay, another question we've been asking people is, we've talked about telephone and electricity. How about television? When did you guys get your television?
Well, Marcy and mother bought us our first TV set. You know. We was living on the Woods Place.
So that, and that was in 50?
Yeah. And the guy by the name of Dave Murray went to that television school, and he put up, or gave me the stuff, and they put up an antenna right by the side of the house.
Yeah, how many stations could you get?
Lucky to get one. We could get Great Bend. That was about
Great
Bend. Yeah.
Not very clear.
Okay, and then let's see, your kids were growing up here in the 60s, and were they involved in 4-H or anything like that?
No.
Sports in school, I imagine.
And scouts.
And scouts, too.
Boy Scouts. Yeah, involved in scouts.
Where was the scout troop located?
In Lewis.
In Lewis? Okay.
Yeah. In fact, he went to Naval.
No, he never did Naval.
But there was a bunch of them back there.
And how big were their classes in school in Lewis? About, you know, how many kids were in their classes?
Oh, I would say 15, 30.
Okay, so Lewis wasn't that big, you know, where their classes were. Were they still playing the same teams in sports?
No, some of them.
Did they play Kinsley at that time?
Yeah.
Maxville?
Yeah. Zick. Mm-hmm. Garfield. They played Garfield. But Zick and Mike Senator and Felsberg and Kinsley, them are all closed.
They're
all
gone. Garfield was playing.
Huh?
Boys, they never did play at Garfield, did they? Did
it match the I guess no, you're right.
I don't think Garfield had school at that time.
No.
Well, neither did Zook, did they?
No, he said Zook had closed. Yeah.
They traveled quite a ways to different.
Did they go to Larned, or was that too big?
Well, I remember Lewis playing Larned in football. But that was a even before Gordon.
So Centerview has disappeared at this time pretty much. And Lewis, what are the changes you're seeing going on in Lewis?
Downhill, mostly.
What's the evidence of it going downhill?
Well, it just kind of, I would say this keep on grinning and don't worry, because at the time I was in school, high school, we never had much to do with it. But anyway, Geiser was what, 3 restaurants, skating rink, pool, 2 banks, co-op, 3 churches, 4 churches.
So this is right during the war or that time.
When I was going to high school.
And by the time your kids started going in the 60s, how did it decline?
Well, all the old schools and You
know, how did Lewis? How did Lewis define the town of Lewis?
Oh, it stayed pretty.
Didn't have all the restaurants.
Yeah, no, it yeah. The restaurants went down. One bank went out.
Still had a grocery store.
Yeah.
And a drugstore.
They had two grocery stores there. One out.
One grocery store when the kids were in school. Was the drugstore still there when the kids were in school in the 60s?
Yeah, that's about the time they quit.
For a few years. Not when they was going to school. When boys were born, there was one there, but I don't think Tommy went to school there was.
Yeah, that was about the time that Dr. Luce left, but there was a younger doctor, Stan, that came.
Stan?
Stanfield.
Stanfield.
He's a osteopath, but I think he was there just about a year ago, and he went to Larned to the hospital.
So after World War II, did people not come back? You know, they went off to fight and work in the war plants and.
Not too many.
And then farming didn't take as many people, right? So.
Yeah, it was. The ones that was established around over the area. They were there, but the younger one generation, like my brother-in-law, they came back. A lot of them never did do a plant. Farming this was, that was about the time farming started going downhill.
Why did farming go downhill?
Price-wise, interest rates.
Oh, so when you're buying land or buying seed or whatever, you had to do on.
We operated on borrowed money for. I don't know how many.
16% and 18%.
And that was on for land or for equipment or
irrigation.
Yeah,
how we put down the.
16% or 18%, in case that didn't get on the tape.
And
so the bankers weren't your friend?
Yeah, well, they had to be.
They were your friend, but they were still charging, having to charge that kind of interest.
Yeah, they didn't have any control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Did people quit farming because of that?
Well, back in the 60s, when we put in the irrigation. A lot of them, there was a bunch of, I won't say that, but there was a bunch of young kids that came back to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But about 5 years' time, they had all left.
Okay, it was too difficult.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Bought some new equipment. Not only their heads and parents farm, but there wasn't. Interest rates were so high. They was lucky that one could survive.
Yeah, it couldn't support two or more families. On one family is all it could support.
And a lot of land changed land back there then. Everybody wanted to get into the irrigation, and a lot of big money come in out of Wichita, Kansas City, buying up a ring. Interest rates was high too. A lot of that guys that invested in them, they seen after they put in the irrigation wells and hired somebody to manage it and everything, it turned about to be a no no plan of prophecy. And a doctor or a lawyer, they don't like to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
So in about 3 years' time, oh, that what happened.
And how was the price of crops at that time? Was it
cheap?
Cheap.
I remember selling mallow for 80 cents.
80 cents.
A bushel. Weight about $1.10. Of course, there wasn't any corn back there. Oh, you think of it, well, but hay. Hay was pretty good. We had about 100 acres of dialect.
And then the hay that you produced, you, that went to feedlots and things like that?
We had about 300 head of sheep back there.
Oh, you had, I was going to ask if you ever had sheep.
And
we missed that story.
And,
when did you have sheep?
Oh, right after we moved out there, because Jimmy O'Connor got me started in the sheep bed.
So that's 54, 55?
Yeah. 58 or 59.
58 or 59. You got sheep, and you had how many?
Well, we built up to where we had about 300.
300. And who did all the lambing?
Everybody.
Everybody. Marcy will get in on that, too?
Yeah, we had them in the house. We had them everywhere.
Had them on balls.
And how was that for a moneymaker?
That was pretty good.
Mr. Olson told us.
If I'd have had some more grass in that, I would have probably still stayed in seed business. But it got to where it was awful hard to sell your fat land. Finally got down to where they had to take a lot of times down to Wichita. That's too far.
Yeah, that's what he said too, but he said he preferred the sheep to the cattle. That sheep didn't take as much care. They could do things on their own if you could keep the coyotes away.
Yeah.
Now, did you use dogs or anything to help you?
No.
No?
I just free range.
Free range. Were the coyotes a problem?
Yeah. Not too bad around home, but I always shut mine up at night.
Oh, shut them up at night. That many? So you they would come in for water or something?
No, I'd just go out and hammer on the side of the building and I'd come around.
Hmm.
Yeah.
One goes, they almost go.
Mm-hmm.
But when we had two guys that come in and shear the
sheep
in
the
spring, we could ship the bull out of Lewis.
On the train there, or?
Yeah, the train was picking them up. When the depot went out, I shut that off. And then they had the wool, all the wool corn to sell.
So that's another change at this time with the depots closing.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, when the depot in Lewis, the train stopping?
Back in probably 67 or 8.
So that's when, another thing that affects.
When about time Franklin Brown.
I think it was later than that.
Yeah, anyway, that's the end of our time period.
Franklin Brown. I can remember Bill Cross going down in Texas and New Mexico. Buying cattle and shipping it
on
bring
the
river.
On the river.
Yeah. Because we'd always, if you wanted some, we'd try to buy some off it.
And
he'd
fatten them up here and then sell them? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when the cattle run down there.
Okay, Rosetta, can you think of anything else we were missing here?
Yeah, I think you ought to know he ended up serving on the Golden Belt Telephone Company for 12 years as a director after working on it when it first started.
Okay, well, let's see. Why don't you turn just a little bit more so we're not quite
Well, if you want to know,
you did the lines for the Golden Belt, and then how'd you end up being on a director?
Because I.
And what time period are we talking?
I took over Bill McLean's place when he retired.
Okay, about what year is this?
Maybe about 12, 13 years ago.
So about 2000.
Yeah, I took over that.
No, and what do you do as on the board of directors of a telephone company?
Make a lot of, spend a lot of money. No, it was an interesting job. Because when I first went over this, talking about something changed, it was this in the expansion stage, I would say, because it just ballooned. Every meeting we had, it seemed like it was something covered. Mm-hmm. You know, but
so it has prospered in recent years. Mm-hmm. Is that due somewhat to the internet, or is it all telephone, or why? It's a little company.
Well, because of that, always had a good manager. The first manager they had was an Irishman. Oh, what's his name?
Dave McKay.
Yeah,
Dave McKay.
And he was the first manager. He was sharp. People just signed up, I guess. They started in a little old shack on somebody's phone. And that just expanded.
Was that around here, or was that?
No, up in Sarah, around the Rush Center.
Around where?
Rush Center.
Oh, Rush Center, okay.
Yeah, thanks.
And then they just expanded out from there.
Yeah, they just keep it flying little town.
Yeah. Because all them little towns is, you might say, it's about to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, government opened up. The grant money,
mm-hmm.
grant, and then of course it went through the agriculture department. For some reason, they got tied in with that.
It was more like the REA and that sort of thing, sort of.
And that's where they got the money then to start out and go with it. And they just kept expanding, you know. And and over a period of years, AT&T and Bunch of Amherst Tobacco would do the cutting before. Wow.
Golden Belt was ahead of the bigger companies.
Yeah.
A lot of cancer people wish they were on Golden Belt.
Yeah, I've wished it sometimes because I know a little bit about it from calling you people.
My first job I had was being on the board of school.
No, you were on the school board at Lewis?
Lewis.
Okay. Have you ever been...
I was on the school board. I was on the co-op board.
Mm-hmm.
Township board.
Yeah, township board.
Cemetery board.
Yeah.
It was a cemetery
board.
On
the board, Stacy Gaff. And... Ed Miller,
mm-hmm.
and I was on the township board. And me
That's
was
the Lewis Township Board? Or Santa Fe?
South Brown
Township
Board.
Okay.
Well, they were all called in when they started first reappraisal all the time. We got stuck with that headache. Everything was redone. Chase and California. Made a spinner wheel.
Now, when did you retire? Or are you still farming?
No, I retired. I still about 80? No. Yeah, 86.
You retired the same year I did,
but I didn't retire. I was thinking 86.
And when did you move from the farm?
Yeah.
When you moved into Lewis?
Yeah.
If some, was someone moved into the farm at that time? When you left?
Well,
I know, but in the house.
Oh, Kansas, Gary, and Mickey Kansas. They've been to have.
We retired in 93.
Yeah.
Retired in 93. Okay, we got that date
down. And they left there until Bill come back here.
And then Bill lives there now?
No.
No.
He lives there over there. He but come back with the intention that's going on. All of us kind of going on doing the farming together, but it didn't work out.
Three quarters
of ground that I lost. And that, that left us down to this tier again in circles and dry land.
So you still own the farmland and
yeah.
And rent, lease or something at this point, or renting is there any other thing in, you know, the last, you know, 20, 30 years you want to mention on the tape that we haven't covered?
I can't really think of anything.
Looking back over your life, now you've spent your whole life in Edwards County. How do you think that's affected your life? Or,
well, to me, it was grandfather and grandmother came out here, and they established the farm, and they survived. And dad and mom survived, and we have. I think it's a pretty good place.
Pretty good place to live.
Yeah, we boys had wonderful neighbors.
And good place to raise children? Was it a good place to raise children?
My kids got it all right, and they spread their wings and went different places. But two of them come back. And my daughter wound up marrying a dairy farmer, and he farmed, so I guess the old farm bred in them.
We talked about the population declining. How did that affect your life as you were living here, to have fewer people?
When I was growing up, everybody seemed like had a hard hand, or maybe two. I know my folks. I don't know. I don't remember my dad ever not having a hard hand until I grew up. And that he kept two boys. The family by the name of Rules.
What was
their
name?
Willow?
Little.
They lived at Gentry, Arkansas. But he came out here and taught school. I guess that's how he got established out there. And they lived out there and had two boys and lived on a place over by Tuesday. They just stayed there. The two boys did.
So your dad had hired help, but then how did that change?
Got down to where it was just me for about 3 or 4 years there. Wasn't really cooking, but I just had the pantry bar work for me a couple of years and work.
So that changed life a lot to have. That is a big change.
I guess I hired somebody to do the Sunday, and then it's almost gets more personal. But like I said, I can see it, the people. But I knew when I was younger, a lot of them moved away. Back in the 40s there, it was about a dirt moon road. But Yep, it's about as tough a time for a couple of years, actually, because I know a lot of farmers went to work somewhere else, and I can remember, I can. I remember them calling in and I'm working for Straits when they put in the syrup knife and all that stuff.
So they found outside work to keep the farm going.
We had people around 70 that went to work at the state hospital. They were trying to make a living somewhere. But like I said, like a lot of people, like during the 30s, pulled up on that.
Yeah, in the 30s they did, and then...
So the population just...
Just keeps going down.
Going down and going. And there isn't me, unless it's something, a big fun call or something.
You weren't involved with in the 80s, when the farmers went to Washington, were you?
Yeah, but we kind of messed around with that for a while. But we had a little office over there in the one time.
What, a law office for?
American Ag.
American Ag?
Yeah, it was pretty active.
Did you go to Washington when they?
No.
You were just, we need to interview somebody who did that.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I'll tell you, guys.
It's past our time period, but it's still, sometime we need to do that.
I'll tell you, a good guy, if we even do it, Lester Gerlach. Because he took his truck with a fuel tank on it. I finished the fuel.
Yeah, see, because we can pick that up in this part of the interview where we're doing beyond 19, you know, as long as we can go back and do the other.
And Jack Wolf was there another. He was an open air tractor all the way.
He drove it all, good grief. What do you see for the future of Edwards County?
Oh, that's good. My outlook is, I might as well say it's not. It's kind of bleak.
Bleak?
Yeah. I think it's pretty well settled as far as farming concerned, because all the irrigation stuff is, I think, pretty well over. And
so people are going
to... our area anyway, because...
What will replace it if they're not irrigating?
Well, that would be pretty tough. Well, I would say if they had to go back to dry land farming, I would say that you'd see a bunch more pack up and like tonight there.
So that area where your farm was really needs irrigation.
Yeah. Yeah.
The no-till or turning it to pasture and having cows or...
Yeah.
Hard ground.
Yeah.
It doesn't do.
And then ground like that is kind of unprotectable because if it rains too much, you can't farm.
it gets
like seaweed.
So you think the population will continue to decline, or do you think it's maybe?
I think it'll dwindle away some more.
Be a little bit more.
A lot of these older people are in my generation. They're up to their guitar rates, and a lot of them don't have anybody coming back to take the place.
And no one in your family will they keep the ground that you still have?
I hope so.
I think you have some grandkids that might be interested, don't you?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
See, Marcelle said she thought this their son and his son would be the most interesting.
Oh, Boyd and Daniel.
Boyd and Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, Rosetta, do you need anything else for this interview?
I have a couple of questions. There was a king that was a jockey.
Ted?
King. What relation is he to you?
Oh, it'd be way, way, way down the list.
Not... But he lived over in that area, didn't
yeah.
he? But he wasn't relation to
like
you.
A third or fourth cousin or something?
Not even that.
Not even that.
I don't think he was that.
Not even that.
Did you ever see him race?
No, he died before I was.
I couldn't remember when he was a jockey. I just know that.
I think there's a tombstone.
Yeah, there is too. He's buried
yeah.
in the Trotter Cemetery.
Yeah, with a horse on it.
Buried in the Trotter Cemetery with a horse?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a family man named Bill and Bridget King up there down in Red Bethel from CNE. But they rather weren't any relatives so far.
Okay. The other question is, I think of Centerview as hard soil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Bethel, that's all sand, isn't
all
it?
All sand.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that really hard to change from one kind of soil to the other kind of soil when you
were farming?
When I was growing up, down in around from Trailsburg on to the county line, down through Bars or Hopewell.
Mm-hmm.
People all down in there were called sand rats because it ground was so sandy.
That's right, I'm saying that.
And it had, it isn't like up home there. They wasn't raising anything either, but they had that sandy land that gets blown and just hardly control it.
Mm-hmm.
But what really changed then was couple of irrigation wells that got down, and they found out they had a good water table, and that ground down there is probably some of the best palm ground there is. That's
okay.
Sand.
With the irrigation.
You could go anything.
Especially
not
with the
no-till.
You know,
when I kept going out, but if you would have planted sand like we got down in the Bethel community when my sister left it. And that is shot you.
That would have blown all away.
He always said that you couldn't go alfalfa and sand, but it turned out to be some of the best irrigated ground.
You need lots of water.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Laura Woods lived in the Bethel community too, or am
no.
I? No. I'm confused. Okay.
She lived here in town. Her
yeah.
husband,
well,
Sam, run up implement business here in town.
So she owned the land out there, but she didn't live out there.
He run over implement company. Because that's where my dad got his first Nicholson Shepherd come up.
This is a new piece of information for him.
I think it is.
Okay.
Oh, that's all right.
No, that's fine.
Because she likes to get her little questions answered, and he just
but
supplies
I did come up, honey, Abraham and Cora.
Oh, Abraham and Cora Eggleston.
Yeah.
So that was Grandma's name.
Her parents.
Okay.
I
can think of Abraham, but I
couldn't think of
Cora
either.
They both died before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got that piece filled in from the beginning.
As far as I know, they came out in here from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But why they came up there, I
I'll pray for the land.
Father, shall.
Let's see. Anything else you want to add?
No, I was just...
No, I'm asking him and you, but she's looking over there to see her notes.
Well, I can tell you one thing about the railroad.
About what?
The railroad.
The railroad? Mm-hmm. Is this the Aunt Nancy you mean?
Huh?
Aunt Nancy?
Yeah. I drilled a well over there. That'd be a mile east and a mile and a half north. A long time ago, back.
Up where? Center view?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, McCarty's left there that time. A bunch of McCarty. And it's where Elmer Huff left later years. But anyway, he drilled this well, and they thought it was really going to be a...
This is an oil well we're talking, yeah. Not a water well. Okay.
And they had so much faith in it that our east quarter we formed was a mile east as far. They talked my grandpa King letting him build an oil dock.
An oil dock?
Yeah. On their land, so they could run a spur off, and they put up the tanks and everything. They thought they was going to, you know, ship oil by the barrel. By the time they got that all put up and everything, they closed the well. They did take the barrel down, but we had cement in the ground over where they run through. I don't know how much machinery tore up there in my dad's bed for a few years. And even when I grew up, there were some pillars. Or
something from that dock. Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because didn't the railroad run through the years, that east quarter?
That's what they put it up for, to get the oil onto the train.
My alcohol. Charlie, when I go to Hopewell, that's where my mom used to go and buy her harvest supply groceries.